Traveling this spring? Did you know that whether you are flying a regional airline or a major carrier, you're 32 times safer flying? Travel safe, fly Sheridan. Operated by SkyWest Airlines, they offer reliable jet service between Sheridan and Denver International Airport. Enjoy the quiet, comfortable 50-seat plane and access over 300 cities on over 5 continents through the United Airlines network. Book your flight today at united.com. Fly local, save time, fly Sheridan.
Experience the next level of comfort and innovation with Beautyrest Black and Beautyrest Black Hybrid, available now at Carroll's Furniture. With advanced support, cooling comfort, and timeless style, Beautyrest delivers the rest and relaxation you deserve. Right now, enjoy exclusive savings on Beautyrest Black and Beautyrest Black Hybrid collections. Feel the difference, live beautifully. Visit us at Carroll's Furniture, 340 North Main in downtown Sheridan, and on our website at www.carrollsfurniture.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Quit spending more than you have to for irrigation systems. This is Brad Walden with C&K Equipment, and we're now selling and installing T&L irrigation systems. There's no better system, period. T&L irrigation systems are forged in America. They have the best water patterns, a winning edge controller, their hydraulics-based systems, and tidal hydration lug means less downtime. Plus, if you're having problems, we're there to service, even on weekends. We know time is money. Call us, C&K Equipment Sales, 674-6405.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, May 15th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Planner Mark Reed. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Floyd.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. I'm filling in for the county commissioners today. they're doing conferences, I guess, somewhere. So anyway.
I think I got lucky with that. Not that they're not great. I love seeing those guys. But at the same time, you know, I read about a lot of the things that you do within the county. I hear about from Aaron Palmer, who covers our county commission, a lot of the statements that you make to the commission regarding planning and things like that within the county. And so I think it's fantastic that we finally get an opportunity to sit down and really have a conversation about this.
Glad to do it. Glad to do it. It's good to have commissioners that take an interest in land use planning in this county, and it's been an important topic for many, many years, and they continue that desire to provide for a good, nice, aesthetically pleasing, safe, and functional community.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And I think, you know, it's one of those situations where a lot of people know what your job is, but don't really understand the nuances and the process itself, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Good.
Now, before we get to that, though, where'd you grow up?
Well, so throughout the Intermountain West, I was born in Sheridan, actually, but my family was in oil, and so we moved a lot. My father was a geologist, and so we lived all over Wyoming, as I say, the Intermountain West, overseas. So, it's been quite an adventure for me, you know, personally. And since I've been married and had family, we've moved, but pretty much been in Wyoming the whole time.
So, yeah. So you know your cowboy state.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's the best place on earth. Absolutely.
I'll tell you, you know, development down in the Red Desert, kind of boom towns. I went to college down there. I worked down there for testing services and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to see that process, that boom and bust, you know, where it seems like overnight, where did everybody go?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it's really impressive to kind of bear witness to that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of unique, not unique to Wyoming, but we certainly have been through that boom bust cycle for ever since we've been a state. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's kind of how Wyoming has rode the wave in a way. Yeah. Now, how did you get in to land use and land planning?
Well, obviously my father being a geologist, we always were lectured anytime we'd go on a family trip about this formation or that outcrop or whatever, and so I got interested in in earth sciences, geography, which is actually what my degree is in, geology. And that led into planning. So how do you use this knowledge and to benefit, you know, the public? And so much of what planning consists of is multidisciplinary aspects, including geography, biology, those types of subjects. And so that got me interested in as I say, geography, got my degree in that. And then went to work for, excuse me.
No, you're okay.
Consulting firms in engineering and surveying, got some background in that. And then job came open many, many years ago, back during the oil boom of the 70s and 80s. And took my first job in Washakie County, actually.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So
now when we look at geology mm-hmm. and geography, so geology is what is it? Geography, why is mm-hmm. it really?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way
I
to
mean,
put it.
That's kind of how I always kind of looked at it.
Right.
And I didn't I thought geography was just basically, you know, what countries where.
Right.
Boy, that is just scratching a surface on that one.
Yeah.
There's a lot to that. And the reason why I bring that up is because that can really affect how you use that land.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, geology is, you know, that's where it all starts. You know, that's what we have to work with. That's the land base. And geography is about, you know, how we do that, how we use the land base. Obviously, we have a unique geology here in Sheridan County. We have the Bighorn Mountains. We have the plains to the east. And that has affected how development's occurred over the years, and it produces opportunities for agriculture. There's good areas for farming and ranching, very productive areas in terms of, you know, your typically your floodplain areas are excellent productive ground. But then geography and geology dictate, you know, things like landslides and things. And those are things, the hazardous situations that we need to be looking at in planning. And, mm-hmm. and when we come up with our land use plans, we need to identify those areas and say, you know, these are areas that probably are best not developed. And so we identify those in the planning process. This county has a very strong agricultural sense and values agricultural highly, and so the productive lands that we do have, while we can't preserve it all, we can do our best to try to encourage development where it is less impactful on viable agricultural situations. So yeah, but it all really starts with the earth and what we're working with. So,
yeah.
So
yeah, I drive over every morning, and there's that one spot, kind of as you're driving up, you're going through those beautiful rolling hills, and then there's a slide.
Yeah.
And boy, it's just like a cut in the earth.
Yeah.
And I look at that every morning and wonder, did that happen suddenly, or was that over time?
Yeah. I think it's those things can, and you do see them in the eastern part of the county, out here in the plains, and they do come on the scene fairly rapidly. And I know the interstate, the folks at Wydot have been fighting that ever since the interstate and the old highways were built, those slumps and slides, and so we really want to make sure that when a development proposal comes around for a subdivision, that, you know, we're not putting people in hazards away, you know, because it's usually not a life-threatening thing, but it's certainly a catastrophic in terms of, you know, financial loss and infrastructure loss. So those are situations we try to plan for. And we, in our rules, our zoning rules, we note that landslide areas shall not be built on, and those are mapped, and we have maps of those. But just because there's a map doesn't mean they might not pop up overnight, and they can, And we don't know about those situations. So
it always blows my mind that, that stuff can really creep up on you. And all of a sudden, you know, like sinkholes that you see on the news and things like that, that people didn't realize. It's kind of crazy. So, I mean, with all this land and all this diverse, I guess you could say, under material, why Sheridan? Why did you say, you know what, this is where I'm going to settle?
Well, I have long family connections with here, and you know, I've always come back here, even as our family, my dad and mom and brother were on the road. We always came back here because our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles were all still here. And so the opportunity came up, you know, gosh, it's going on 19 years now. This job came open. I'd been the county planner in Laramie County in Cheyenne and before. And yeah, the commissioners at that time approached me and said, "Hey, would you consider coming up here?" And it was a tough decision because we were going through the coal bed methane boom at that time, and housing was as tight, if not tighter, than it is now.
Oh yeah.
And so we wrestled with that, and we got through it, and we decided to pull the trigger and come on up. So yeah, and we're glad we have. So
deep roots.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Deep roots.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if we take a step back, what does a county planner officially do?
Well, I think the primary duty of the planner is to assure for the commissioners on the commissioner's behalf that we have a what is known as a comprehensive plan put together that's current and valid, and it's reflective of the community's desires in terms of development. And the comprehensive plan is an officially adopted document. It goes through a planning process, typically over a year and a half's process, and it's vetted by lots of folks. There's typically steering committees and the planning commission. We have a planning and zoning commission appointed by the county commissioners. They make recommendations on the various policies and goals that might be included in that plan. And then ultimately the county commissioners decide to adopt it, amend it, whatever. And then that sets the basis for all other decisions in terms of land use and where things are going to happen. And the plan is not a regulation. It is an official policy document, but it's not a regulation. What then the county planner is responsible for is proposing ways to implement the plan. You know, is that a program? Is that an investment? Is that regulatory? What tools are out there to assure that the plan is put into place? And so I'll be tasked with various ways to implement whatever policies are in there. So, for instance, in floodplains, the plan identifies those as areas that should be avoided for development. And so the county commissioners have rules on development in floodplains. And so that's just one example. But the genesis of everything that we do in land use planning starts with a comprehensive plan, and it's important to have a up-to-date plan. And typically a plan is updated every 5 years. Our latest version's 2020. Don't know when the next commissioner's initiative will be to update that, but hopefully here in the future. Previous plan was 2008. Previous to that, The last official adopted plan was 1981, I believe, and the original comp plan was 1978. So that was the county's first comprehensive plan, was 1978. So not a huge long history of planning here, but that's kind of where the comprehensive plan process originated. It was back in the 70s.
And when... what would cause them to update this outside of the time frame?
Typically, changes in economy will drive that. So, for instance, when I first came here, we were going through the coal bed methane boom, and So the economy has changed. The needs for housing were different. And so the commissioners, that was one of my first marching orders, was to get a new comprehensive plan. And that was done in 2008. But it was reflective of that era. Well, that went away. CBM went away. And the economy has changed. And we have a different type of segments in the economy now. And that are more important than, not more important, but different than what the CBM was at that time. And so along in about 2018-19, the commissioners said, okay, we need to get with a new plan that's more reflective of our current times. And that was the current one we're working on now is 2020. So largely, and if you see a lot of growth in an area or areas or countywide that is not reflective of earlier policies and goals, then it's time to get with the plan and update. So,
and part of that update, going from kind of shifting your land use plan from something like oil and gas to, I imagine,
more
agriculture.
Services. Yeah. Well, agriculture has always been a consistent feature, I think, in our comp plan. If you go back to our original comp plan in 1978, the goals and policies regarding agriculture are probably going to be very similar to what you read today.
Oh, wow.
So that has really changed very little. People's attitudes and the importance they attach to agriculture is, I think, fairly consistent over the years. And it's very, very important in polls that have been done through the university, through the Livestock Growers Commission, through as I say, anybody to do with agriculture has done a poll. They always, it seems, unequivocally point out the importance of agriculture to our county and the residents of our county. You know, the percentages are really high. Like, they'll ask a question, how important is it to preserve irrigated farmlands and agricultural productive lands? And you'll see 80 and 90% of people saying it's important or very somewhat important. And so so the sentiment is there for that. But so the trick then is to, okay, so we have people moving here. How are we going to accommodate housing? Well, housing takes development. And so there's going to be some impact, but can we reduce that impact on ag land in by using various tools?
Yeah. So now I got to take a quick commercial break, but I do got one more question for you before we go. What do you enjoy about this work?
Oh, in this work? Well, I think first and foremost, it's the staff that we have in the Public Works Department. We've got a tremendous team. Our commissioners have been very supportive over the years. And it personally, it stimulates my interest in I guess earth sciences and that type of thing, and seeing things well done. You know, it gives you gratification in terms of, you know, hey, you know, the county made the right decision on this proposal, up or down, and you know, it went through the process, you know, helping people get through the process. So we're also charged with that. We're, you know, so if there's an application for development, our office is in charge of helping people to get through that process and bringing it forth for the larger community to consider, and then the ultimate decision by the Planning Commission and the County Commissioners.
Yeah, it seems like that'd be something pretty satisfying, being able to stand there and look at a piece of land and go, you know what, this was nothing 2 months ago.
Right.
And now it's somebody's home.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, on that, we're going to have more with our Sheridan County Planner, Mark Reed. Right after this, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
At Pella of Wyoming, you get more value in more ways than one. For a limited time, get 20% off projects or 0% APR for 36 months. And that's just the start. Pella Windows and Doors deliver long-term savings with energy-efficient designs, industry-leading warranties, superior craftsmanship, and a team of dedicated experts to help you put it all together. Visit PellaSheridan.com/special offers and schedule your free consultation today.
Wrap Plumbing and Heating can handle any job you have, big or small. From new construction to a pesky leaking toilet, the professionals at Wrap Plumbing and Heating are here to assist you. Drippy faucet? Sure. New shower hardware? No problem. Plumbing an entire new house? For sure. Clogs that need snaked? Oh yeah. Wrap Plumbing and Heating has not met a job they can't handle. Too big a crap? Call Dan Wrap at 429-1196.
Heads up, whether it's at work, at home, or play, take a few seconds to look up and locate any overhead power lines. When working outside, be sure to keep yourself and any tools or equipment you're using at least 10 feet away. Teach your children to fly kites or toys in areas away from overhead power lines, and do not attempt to remove anything that has become tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
Warmer weather means it's officially roofing season, and Branded 307 is getting to work. If your home was hit by the hail last year and you haven't had your roof inspected, now is the time. Most insurance companies only allow for 1 year from the date of loss to file a claim. After that, the cost could be out of your pocket. Whether you're looking to replace your shingles or want to upgrade to an impact-resistant metal roof, visit Branded307.com or call for your inspection today. Branded 307, branding one home at a time.
Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan County Planner Mark Reed. Now, we've discussed a lot of issues already in the first half. We're going to move on to land use planning. Now, this is an entire process, and it should be. There's a lot that goes into this, and until you really kind of sent me this information, Mark, I didn't really know how in-depth a lot of this really has to go. But now that you talk about these earth sciences and slides and we can use land for this but not that, I can see why. Land use planning, what is it fundamentally?
Well, I guess, you know, there's a handy dandy little definition I drew up here. It says land use planning is a process of managing how land is developed and used. Typically involves mapping where homes, businesses, farms, parks, infrastructure should go based on environmental, economic, and social needs. So that's a pretty generic definition, I guess. And there's probably other folks that would add or subtract from that. But yeah, land use planning in its purest form is going through a public process where folks are encouraged and highly, some are highly motivated, others are not, to participate and present their views on what constitutes a well done, developed county, community, whatever. Land use planning can be done at various scales, can be done at a town level, city level. So the city of Sheridan has its own land use plan. Even our smaller communities, Dayton, Ranchester, have their own land use plan. I obviously work at a larger scale, the county plan. It covers the entire Sheridan County, and that's pretty broad. That's a lot of views, a lot of diverging opinions on where this county ought to be headed, and you know, it's people have some pretty strong feelings about. We need to be doing more of this or less of that, and we need to be discouraging this or discouraging that or encouraging this or encouraging that. And it's really trying to synthesize all of those various views and coming up with something that is fairly unified, and it's not perfect by any means, but providing some sense of direction for the decision makers and those that are going to be using the land in the future. So the commissioners, when they're approached with a proposal for a subdivision or a conditional use permit or a quarry or something like that, they have something they can go back to. They're not bound to go by that, but at least they'll have some sense of what the public was thinking about that particular topic and in that particular location, and have something to go on. Now, they may not agree with it, and they don't have to, but at least it gives them a clue as to what ought to happen. So, so the scale is highly variable. We have another subset of our comprehensive plan. It's called the Joint Land Use Plan, and we have that with the City of Sheridan. And that covers the area outside of the City of Sheridan, and it varies in width, you know, approximately a mile. And so we have some jointly adopted goals and policies in that area. So as the city grows, I'm not going to say paves the way for city growth, but at least it eases the pain of city growth into these areas, which is very important because your communities have got to grow, and the decisions that the county makes around the community should hopefully encourage growth in a good fashion in that surrounding area. And so our last iteration of that plan was in 2017. And so, but we're still using that for this 1 mile, and I hate to say 1 mile because it varies, around the city. And so that's a particular area of interest because that's really where we want to encourage growth. Our broader comprehensive plan encourages growth in and around our existing communities. We want to see Ranchester grow. We want to see Dayton grow. We want to see the city of Sheridan and Claremont grow too, you know. And so we'll look at what is positive in terms of encouraging those areas to go into a more municipal form of development. And so that is a very, very important aspect of the broader comprehensive plan in that it provides for efficient extension of utilities, roads, et cetera, while at the same time, well, if we're going to have people come into Sheridan County, we want to try to at least focus most of the impact around those communities where it's best suited for development. And in that way, it also encourages preservation of agricultural land. So if the pressure is not on the land base out where the ranches and farms are, then that takes the heat off of them and the impacts they experience associated with development. And so we'll try to focus the growth around, as I say, these population centers. So I don't know. Did I get off topic here?
No. I think that was absolutely perfect. I think that was amazing because we have to look at our ancillary communities out there, and when we do, I've often wondered myself, you know, when developers are coming through and they're looking at where they want to put, say, like a housing development, I would think that a small community would be ideal. You know, smaller is kind of on the outskirts of a larger community because, and I'm sure everyone doesn't feel the same that I do, but I kind of like being a little remote, you know, and I know a lot of Wyoming folks kind of feel the same. I would love to have the conveniences of a big city, but I'd love to have them over there.
Yeah.
And so I've often wondered why developers aren't sweeping through here going, you know what? I'm going to put one there, and I'm going to put one there. And, you know, there's money to be made.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, people have different desires, obviously, as you say, in terms of the lifestyle they want to lead. And I think our plan needs to reflect that. There are folks that want to live a more rural lifestyle. Our plan does provide for folks that want to live on a few acres if they want to do that. But we also provide for areas that are more urban, intensive, commercial, industrial oriented. And so We have something for both, and some folks will say, well, we don't have enough. But that's where the challenge becomes for the county to decide, you know, what is the fine balance that we're going to have here. We just can't say, okay, we're just going to do development everywhere, or else the land base, and in particular the ag folks, are really going to be hammered by that.
Yeah.
And so this county's taken the position that we're going to try to keep development opportunities in and around our population centers that we already have services for, et cetera. And not saying you can't do development out in the county. We see development in the county all the time. Not huge, large-scale stuff, but it's a situation where the primary focus is to try to encourage development in close, if we can. And close is a relative term. You know, some folks, you know, 20 miles away is too close.
Yeah.
Others, you know, others... You know, man, if I can't walk downtown, you know, I'm too far out.
Yeah.
So anyway, a little bit for everybody. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't mean to get off topic myself, you've been around the state of Wyoming and other states as well, and watched this kind of happen, been in the offices as it has happened. Is there, and we don't have to mention any names or anything like that, but is there a situation where you can sit here and say, that growth got a little out of control?
Yeah. In, I guess, in my own personal opinion, you know, I was in Laramie County, and I will name names, I guess. And
I used to live in Cheyenne.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
I've lived there before. Yeah.
The level and extent of some of the rural development. I mean, they've got ranchettes to the horizon.
Yeah, they do.
And that's great for those that want to live that way and go for it. You know, but it seems like that's pretty profound at how far out some of that rural type development has occurred. And again, I don't belittle anybody or any community for if that's the way they want to develop as reflected in their plan.
Yeah,
fine. And it's not my job to say this is good development or bad development. It's to try to flesh out what it is that the community as a whole is saying and get that in front of the commissioners, and they make the final decision, not me. So, and then it's my job to obviously implement that.
Yeah.
Whatever that adopted policy is.
And boy, you know, I think about that. I didn't even really consider that, but I had a friend who lived way out there in one of these developments, and I was like, man, you got to drive through, you know, all this flat land, and then all of a sudden there's this other development out here in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just kind of seems a little odd.
It's pretty broad.
Said, it's up to them, and I hope they're all happy with it. I do have to take another quick commercial break, but I'm going to have more with our Sheridan County Planner, Mark Reed, right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
For a busy summer tourism season, be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust cash management solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank, member FDIC.
Tales of the City takes nutrition to heart with Nature's Logic, Fromm Family Foods, and Red Paw, the number one sporting food, expanding with new products every day. Now, shop online at talesofthecitystores.com. We offer free local delivery or order online for curbside pickup. Be confident in what you're feeding. Tales truly is invested in your pet. At Tales of the City, we know they're not just pets. Their family.
Tales of the City. Visit their new location at 218 West Burkett in Sheridan.
Have you ever considered a gift certificate to Eye Care of the Bighorns for someone who has vision correction? Many companies don't provide eye insurance, which makes the burden of annual eye exams and glasses or contact lenses an out-of-pocket expense. Eye Care of the Bighorns also carries your favorite sunglasses and athletic eye protection from names you love, like Maui Jim, Costa, and more. Stop by Eye Care of the Bighorns or call 307-674-0444 today. The Bulgari emerald and diamond pendant necklace that Richard Burton bought Elizabeth Taylor while filming Cleopatra during the 60s sold for just over $12 million. You won't see the Bulgari emerald at Legacy Diamond and Gems, but you will find stunning emerald jewelry that's more in line with your budget. Emeralds symbolize loyalty, new beginnings, peace, and security. A perfect present for your mom or someone with a birthday in May or just because. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every piece tells a story. At 11 North Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Hey, Bob, did you know Waring Chevrolet is a full-service dealership?
Full-service, does that mean you're going to mow my lawn, walk my dog?
Not quite, Bob, but we've got you covered. From new and pre-owned vehicles to top-notch servicing by the best techs in the industry.
What about tires?
Bob, we've got a tire price match guarantee on all big-name brands.
And I hear your parts department is everything I need, too.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, if you've had a fender bender, our collision center will have you back on the road in no time.
And your new detailing shop. That's where my truck goes to shine like new.
Waring Chevrolet really is your full-service dealership. We'd love to serve you. At 107 East Alger or online at WaringSheridan.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. This morning we're speaking with Mark Reed, the Sheridan County Planner. We're going over land use planning. Now, I have led us off topic a few times, but I will get us back there, folks. Let's talk about the first steps, Mark. When someone approaches you,
okay,
with an idea, you know, I'd love to develop this or that, what are the first steps that they've got to go through?
Sure. Yeah, so typically what folks will do is just give us a ring at the Public Works office and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And this happens daily. It's probably happening at my office as I'm sitting here, wondering, okay, I've got an idea in terms of just for something very simple, a shed or a house or a septic system I want to install. You know, what's the process? And we'll talk to them right then and there. This is what you need to do in order to get that ball rolling. And then similarly with more involved projects, say a subdivision, division of land, that call will be made, and we'll, for a subdivision, we'll set up what we call a pre-application meeting. In Wyoming, the state of Wyoming statutes say that essentially any division of land is a subdivision. So a lot of people are astonished when they say, well, I just want to, you know, carve off an acre or two and sell it to somebody. And I say, well, okay, that's going to require a subdivision permit. But they'll say, I'm not a subdivider. And I say, no, state law says you're a subdivider.
If you cut the piece off,
yes,
that's
you
a
are
subdivision.
And so there are exemptions for family situations and other situations, agricultural land. For instance, if it's continued to be used just for ag purposes, you can divide off land without a subdivision permit. So there are exemptions in there. But so they will set up a pre-application meeting. They'll typically bring in their idea and we'll sit down and say, okay, here's a floodplain issue here, or we got some steep slopes. You might want to consider that. And then we'll go through the type of development or subdivision we'll go through. We have a conventional subdivision where you just simply cut the land up into whatever parcels you're looking at. And then we also have what is known as a conservation design subdivision where there's potentially bonuses that you can accrue to do more lots. So if you're a developer, typically you want more lots to sell.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is that you have to set aside a certain percentage of land for open space purposes. And so when we say open space purposes, we mean those areas that perhaps are under irrigation for hay. You know, if you set that aside, we may give you more bonus. You know, you can do more lots.
Oh, wow.
So there's a trade-off there. So anyway, we decide on what type of subdivision it's going to be. They'll make their application, provide the documentation that may need to go with that. For instance, when you subdivide, a state engineer requires that you deal with the water rights that are associated with land, so they have to take care of that. Sometimes you have to deal with the Department of Environmental Quality in terms of your water safety and sewer adequacy. That has to be, they have to provide data to them to DEQ then does provides a recommendation back to the county on whether it's adverse or non-adverse. So there's a variety of check boxes that have to be taken care of. Once we have that information, it's all ready to go. We schedule a meeting with the Planning Commission. The Planning and Zoning Commission considers it. They have a hearing on it. They make a recommendation on the application, and then that goes on to the county commissioners for their final consideration. So that's kind of the subdivision process in a nutshell. Obviously, if you're just building a house or a septic system or something like that, it's much less involved. It's just simply an administrative procedure, unless you need some special consideration, such as a variance. So somebody can't get their house on their property just like it's supposed to, can't meet the standards. For instance, you have a 25-foot setback requirement. They say, well, because of a ditch or a big rock in my property, I can't meet that setback. Then they go through what is known as a variance. And so we'll handle that, and that goes through the county commissioners as well. So anyway, so that's kind of how the process works in terms of development. And excuse me, we'll get them through and try to make it as painless as possible. So.
When it comes to public involvement and people mm-hmm. are hearing that maybe a development's going to go in over here or over there, where does the public involvement come in? Because if I'm say a private developer mm-hmm. and I've purchased that land, I should have the right to do whatever I feel like right. I want to do with it, right? But do I?
Well, in my opinion, yes, you do, as long as you take care of all the check boxes. That's my position as a staff person. The public certainly has the right, and they are involved. They are typically notified in a variety of ways. Either they get a letter in the mail, they read about a hearing online, they read about it in the newspaper. That's how they become aware of it. They have their opportunity at the Planning Commission and the county commissioners to provide their thoughts, their ideas, their observations regarding whatever proposal it is. And so they have that chance to weigh in on it. Now, typically what the commissions are looking for are facts that nobody really knew about or were not aware of. Like, for instance, nobody knew about a high groundwater situation, but somebody that's lived on the land for 40 years points that out. Well, that's important information to know, perhaps, yeah. in evaluating this development proposal. Input that is more geared at like, well, I've lived here for forever and I really don't want any neighbors. That, yeah, you can say that, but if these folks have the right by code to do this, well, hate to say it, but I'm sorry.
You know,
these guys meet the code. It's going to be hard for us to deny it just because you don't want to have new neighbors.
Yeah.
And so that's a misconception that sometimes is out there that, you know, because, you know, you've had this view for 50 years or whatever, you know, that's not always going to be there. If the right is there for the developer to do his project. So,
and you have the right to get up and tell the commission
absolutely.
Everything
yep.
you want to tell them.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's the thing about living here in America. We've all yep. got our rights.
Absolutely.
You know? And so, as we look at things that people should really kind of consider if they are thinking about any kind of development, what are some of the things that you would tell somebody? Keep this in mind if you're thinking about doing anything with your land.
I think the real basic things, again, what's this land best suited for? That gets back to my geography yeah. roots. You know, have you got, realistically, can you get a septic system on this property? You know, is it going to work? You know, you need to really be paying attention to these physical factors from the get-go. Is this in a floodplain? You know, is this a landslide area? Is this have some other hazard associated with it? So those are things. And I've been in the development business myself in the private sector back in the 90s. I worked in Johnson County. And those were the most important things, were taking a look at those factors. Important things to the developer are going to be, you know, what's it going to cost me to run water, roads, sewer, if that's provided for. But that's a private decision. And I can't advise them on that as a planner, but you know, that's the business end of the development. But from a public perspective, you know, preservation of highly productive agricultural lands, habitat areas, as I say, hazardous areas, those are considerations that are important to the public and yeah. that need to be evaluated early on in the process. So, I guess, you know, that's kind of my advice to folks, you know, is what you're starting with really suitable for what it is that you're thinking from a physical standpoint.
Now, after somebody comes in, you tell them to consider these things mm-hmm. and they fill out their paperwork. If you have a recommendation, do you take that to the planning commission and then they go off of that?
Correct. Yeah. So once we receive the application, the staff will evaluate it against the various codes. You know, the applicant could have chose to totally ignore whatever aspect of code there is or our suggestions. That's their right. But then we will evaluate it and make our recommendation in the staff report. And we will either recommend that it be approved as is, approved with conditions. So, for instance, if there's a concern about whatever is associated with the land that we really think is an issue, we'll say approve it, but with this condition. Mm-hmm. Or if it just like totally falls flat, there's a recommendation for denial. And so that goes to the planning commission, and it's their choice as to whether or not they want to go along with staff's recommendation. They can choose to add conditions. They can. It's purely up to them. They're not bound by staff's recommendation. We're just there as advisors, and they can choose to take it or leave it. And then the same goes for the county commissioners. When they get the planning commission's recommendation, they can either choose to go with it, which they usually do in majority of cases, or they can choose to modify it, or they can say no. Planning commission, you recommend approval, we're going to deny it. So it's, in the end, it's the commissioner's prerogative to decide what they want to do. So
now I've only got about 3 minutes left.
Sure.
When it comes to addressing the public as a whole, how would you like them, would you like them to be more involved with you? And if so, where do we go to be involved?
Sure. Yeah. So the best time to be involved is when the county commissioners and planning commissioner are deciding to and have initiated a update or comprehensive plan. That to me is the best time to be involved. There are opportunities for individual developments to be involved as well. As I say, you get that notice, you read about it in the paper, there's going to be a hearing. By all means, write a letter, send an email, come to the meeting, speak your mind on the proposal. That's also a good opportunity. Unfortunately, that's only geared to a very specific situation. If you want to have more impact on a broader scale, be involved with the comprehensive plan. That's, in my opinion, that's where policies and goals and decisions regarding the future land use are nailed down, and not nailed down, but the general direction is set.
The foundation is
yes,
laid.
The foundation, exactly.
And we can still build the house however we want, yep. But the foundation's there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's and of course people can certainly provide input anytime on any aspect to our office. To the Planning Commission or the County Commissioners. They all have opportunities at each of their meetings for the public just to get up and speak whatever they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And so if somebody is thinking, well, you know, we need to be doing more in terms of ag land preservation, they need to get up and say that at a meeting, you know, and that opportunity is there. Write a letter to the commissioners, write a letter to us, and we'll get it to the commissioners. So the avenues are always there, always yeah. there, so.
If someone wants to contact your office, sir, what do they need to do?
Email, obviously. They can go to the county's website and get there, or they can email us, give us a call, drop in. We get a lot of drop-ins. And so, yeah, I think the county's got a Facebook page even, so you can even use that, so whatever it is.
Mark, so, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come in here and speak with us. It was an absolute pleasure, sir.
Yeah, same to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
Saddle up for Chris Ledoux Days, June 14th in KC, Wyoming. The rodeo starts at 1:30 p.m. with exciting saddle bronc and bareback riding competitions leading up to the street dance and party with Ned Ledoux, Kip Attaway, and Sawyer Brown. Admission is $35 for both the rodeo and dance, or $20 for the dance only. Proceeds benefit college and high school rodeo scholarships and Make-A-Wish Wyoming. Chris Ledoux Days, Saturday, June 14th in KC, Wyoming. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media.
Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan wants you to remember what Memorial Day is all about. It's about the men and women who sacrifice by risking their lives in danger zones around the world. Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan honors our troops and veterans for their dedication. Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan offers quality lawn care. Established in 1980, the staff at Four Seasons Lawn Care in Sheridan honor our troops and veterans.
Hi, this is Elizabeth,
JT,
and Dr. Dempsey with EBIA Hearing and Sound. May is Better Hearing and Speech Month. We invite you to take a proactive approach to your overall health and reconnect to the vibrant and beautiful world through better hearing.
Connection is a key to happiness. Enhance your joy, protect your mental acuity, and find ease in communication through better hearing. Our staff offers comprehensive hearing exams, tinnitus support, prescriptive hearing aids, and more.
Celebrate Better Hearing and Speech Month. Call today, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Spring is in the air, and at Midas, that means a little more green in your pocket. You could save $50 on brakes and up to $150 on shocks and struts. Plus, while your car is getting a tune-up, schedule a little time for detailing at Sheridan Auto Spa and save 10%. It's like the savings are just pouring in. Protect your investment inside and out and save a few coins in the process. You'll get that new car feeling all over again at Midas Tire and Auto on East Brundage Lane in Sheridan.
If you're looking for somewhere to score some sweet deals before you head into the weekend, then do we have the place for you. Just head over to SheridanMedia.com and look for the Hot Buys button every Thursday from 4 a.m. to 8 p.m. on the homepage. When you click through, you'll find deals every week starting at 50% off of retail value. You'll find everything from dining certificates to household items to health and beauty certificates and everything in between. Hot Buys, every Thursday from 4 a.m. to 8 p.m. only on SheridanMedia.com.
What is the latest and greatest, or even not so great? Hi, I'm Rich DeMuro with Rich on Tech. Be sure to listen this Saturday on
News Talk 930, now on 103.9 FM.